Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Chris Egger, who's a CFO at Charat Gold. How are you today, Chris?
Hello, Zach. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just mulling over your final results for the year ended at the end of December. All your financials look very healthy indeed.
Yes, look, I think we're quite pleased with how the year ended, considering 2020 has been a very challenging time for the world with COVID, which we had to navigate all of last year, as well as into this year. We also, in the Q4 time period, had a conflict in Armenia that we navigated, which put pressure on the business. But that being said, we produced more ounces in 2020 versus 2019, up 3% with 58,000 ounces. So we beat our targets, and we also reduced our cash costs at the mine, which was also a goal for the business. And then finally, it all led to a healthy EBITDA of, I think, $19.4 million at Capen, which again exceeded our targets, obviously supported by a pretty decent macro environment. So we're quite happy with what we've done at Capen for 2020 and hopefully provides sort of projections of where things are to go in the future.
The detail is quite decent, let's say. So the cash and cash equivalents at $31 million is a chunky turnaround there. You know, it's a solid financial position, isn't it?
That's correct. So look, I highlighted the $19.4 million of EBITDA is just from Capen. When we include corporate and other expenses, the group EBITDA was $9.3 million. And as you highlighted, that's a big turnaround from a negative EBITDA of 12.7 in 2019. So the company's gone through fairly significant transformation since 2018. We made progress in 19, but 20 was really the big turnaround. And obviously now we're a solidly profitable business with some significant milestones to come for 2021, specifically on our Tulkubash mine. So again, in 2020, we produced a good bit of ounces at our Capen mine, which is an operating mine. We also spent time in developing our Tulkubash mine, which is a mine based in Kyrgyzstan with targeted production at the end of 2022. And so that mine will come on board. And with that mine, the combined businesses will have, call it, gold production of close to 160,000 ounces from today of around 60,000 ounces. So again, 2021, a lot more milestones to come in order to increase the profitability of the business even more.
Right. I mean, I think the issue maybe here is that, you know, maybe investors, private investors like I did, they're probably expecting you to be either a much smaller company and maybe a 10, 20 million pound market cap company. The retail end tends to focus on blue sky opportunities and, you know, over the rainbow opportunities and pre-revenue, even, you know, in the mining sector. And then you have the big names, the Anglos and the Glencores and companies like that. What would you say to investors who are sort of thinking, well, there's not going to be the multiples of growth that you might get in a, you know, near 200 million pound company that you might in a 10 million pound market cap company?
Sure. Look, I think the way I would think about that is we started off as a 10 million market cap company. This would have been 10 years ago, but the business has actually performed in order to achieve those multiples of expansion. So today, the market cap in dollars is around $180-190 million, US dollars. And that's been driven from the fact that we now have three key assets, as opposed to back, you know, 5 years ago, we had one asset. So through the actual execution of strategy of spending money on the ground, into the ground, I should say, in order to develop three mines, you're able to create value. And for us, we're not stopping at a market cap of 180 million. We anticipate to be, you know, a $1 billion company. And that will be through the development of our three assets. And I can talk a little bit more about what those milestones are, but also through potential acquisition of other mines, as we've done with Capen. So we're using the business as a platform for M&A growth, but also most importantly, we think that there's going to be substantial creation and value of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5x, depending on how we perform in the near future with the development of our existing assets.
So it's basically the case that you've got the risk has been mitigated by the different projects. You still are small enough to have the upside of maybe, you know, it could be 3x, 4x, 5x from these levels. And so in some ways, it's almost like a Goldilocks type of position in the sector, that the growth is there, but the risk has been mitigated. Is that a fair way of describing it?
We think so, because when you look at the gold production today, we have close to 60,000 ounces. We anticipate to get to around 500,000 ounces in 5 to 6 years. And that's, you know, call it an 8x growth rate, if not a bit more than that. So we do think that we'll be able to create substantial value for our shareholders in a much call it de-risk environment versus a 10 million market cap company, which 10 million market cap companies have to raise an awful lot of capital in order to create value and need a lot of luck with regards to what's in the ground. With us, we've proven a lot of that luck out already. Now we just need to execute on building the mines and obviously, like I said, using the platform to take advantage of other M&A opportunities within the region that we operate, which we think is a very exciting region to be in.
Well, I mean, do you think that there is, because of the region in which you operate, less of a light being shined on your company, or less the investors sort of say, well, that sounds a bit unfamiliar, I'm going to look at something else, which is maybe a jurisdiction which is more familiar?
Absolutely. Look, we acknowledge that we operate in more exotic jurisdictions, but they are proven mining jurisdictions. We think that from a risk profile, they're no different, if in fact better than what you see in Africa, and maybe on par with what's in South America. They're well established economically in the sense that they have high education rates, both in Kyrgyzstan and Armenia. The workforce is incredibly well educated and proud. And it is very sophisticated financial markets and very sophisticated, I would say, fiscal regimes and government practices. So mining is core to both of the countries. So yes, they're exotic because they're not, you know, it's not Canada. It's not some of these other very, very well-known mine jurisdictions, but they're still, mining is the top industry in both countries and has a long established track record. I think over time, we'll prove to people as we produce that we've had no issues in any of the mines that we operate. So therefore, we can continue to operate there with little risk.
And it's probably the case, the stock market being the stock market, that there's a discount because of that. If you were in Australia or if you were in Canada, for instance, the share price, rather than 25p, might be 40p or 50p. I mean, that's sort of the way the market works, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I think so. I think that, you know, even if we produce, say, $100 million out of Kyrgyzstan, Armenia, and you produce $100 million out of Australia, we will still trade at a discount relative to those other jurisdictions. But as you know, cash is cash, and we'll be able to use that cash over time to start paying dividends. And whether it comes from one country versus another, investors shouldn't care. But again, I think as we continue to operate in these countries without any issues, that risk factor may be adjusted in a way that brings us more on par with other countries. Maybe not Australia from today, but that's obviously someplace we'd like to go in the future. And also what I would say is where these governments want to be perceived as well, because obviously they want to attract international activity and international investments, and that's effectively what we're working with them on doing.
So, I mean, it's possible to say you're paying, at the moment, you're paying 25p a share for a company which could be nominally worth 40 pence a share if you took out geopolitical factors, for instance, or out of the equation.
Yeah, I think so, yes. I think that maybe it's not as big as that, but I think there is a discount. Well, we know we're the largest British investor in Kyrgyzstan. The government is obviously keen to see our mine progress because of the economic growth that we would bring to the country. And look, we locked in a fiscal regime with the government, so they cannot increase taxes or change any of the cash flows out to the government for the life of mine. So we've locked ourselves into those numbers, which I think is very positive to try and de-risk the perception from investors. But effectively, yes, I think that we have we suffer a bit from country risk, but yet we have very attractive assets with good growth profiles.
Presumably therein lies the bargain and the opportunity for those who are so minded. I just want to finish off on the gold price itself. We had gold up at, you know, $2,000 plus in August, and clearly if that was the case now, you'd be, we'll say, dancing happily, but dancing even more happily maybe than the current situation. How much of a difference would that make if we're back at 2,000, and perhaps if we were up at 2,500 or 3,000, which is maybe where gold should be in such a inflationary money printing type of era that we're in at the moment?
So look, we produce today around 60,000 ounces of gold equivalent, but at our Kapan mine, it's a polymetallic mine, so our gold exposure is probably 60%, and then we also have exposure to copper, zinc, and silver. So a roughly $200 increase in gold adds about $4 million of EBITDA to the business. So when we're today at $12 million, you can see going up $200 will increase the EBITDA by, you know, 40, 50%. So it has a pretty big impact to our EBITDA. So we're quite happy to see that. We also think that the increase in copper price has been very beneficial to our business, and we see that increasing more. So overall, as we look at the world and with what's happened with COVID and now the inflationary pressures coming about and the anti-inflationary measures being put in place by all the fiscal governments, not all of them, but many of them, we do think that gold has some good wind behind its back in order to create substantial cash flows for the business in the future, which I don't think has been priced in. Look, I'll just maybe say, like, when I look at the whole gold sector in general, a lot of companies traded up with the gold price. A lot of them have come back down, but they're still producing a substantial amount of cash. Our share price has never really moved with the gold price yet. And therefore, when we think about the opportunity, we believe that investors have a substantial growth opportunity for not only us executing the strategy and growing the ounces in our portfolio, but also being a benefactor to increasing gold price over the coming years.
Chris Egger, CFO at Chariot Gold, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.